Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, from time to time, I think you know that I like to use stories in my sermons to illustrate certain points. And realizing that they may not necessarily have a spiritual center, they nevertheless drive home an important point. Some of you may remember one of my favorites is my Easter story about the spider and her web. But today is different. It's a different story. And as we explore it, I hope that it will challenge us as we consider how we are to use the gifts that we have been given by God. Once there was a village with a chief who had three sons. And each one of the sons possessed a special talent. The oldest son was skilled in his ability to care for olive trees. The second was a shepherd. But when the sheep got sick, he possessed special abilities to make them well. The third son was a great dancer. So when a string of bad luck in his family or in the village occurred, or if anyone needed some cheer or hope to be added to their lives, he would dance and bring them joy. Well, one day the father decided that he was going on a long journey, and so he gathered his sons together and told them. And he instructed them. He said, "My sons, the people of the village now will be depending on you to help them. Each one of you has a special talent. So while I'm gone, I expect you to use your gift wisely. Use it well so that upon my return, I will find our village more happy and prosperous than it is today." And so he embraced his sons, and he left on his long journey. Well, for a few months, things went quite well in the village. But then came the cold winter with the snow and the winds and the assorted problems. First, the buds on the olive trees shrank and cracked, and it wouldn't be, therefore, too much longer that they realized it would be a long time before the olive trees recovered. The village, because of the extremely long winter, ran out of firewood. So the people began to cut down the trees and, in the process, stripped the village bare. And even though the first son did not want to see the trees cut down, he knew that the villagers needed heat to survive, and so he began to help them to make firewood out of the olive trees. Then the snow and the ice made it impossible for traders to come up the river and negotiate the mountain passes. So the villagers said, "Well, let's kill the sheep and eat them so that we won't starve to death." The villager's second son at first refused, but eventually he gave in to the villager's demands. He said, "What good will it do if we spare the sheep and the villagers all die?" So in this way, the villagers had just enough firewood and just enough food for their tables. But the horrible winter had broken the people's spirit. They began to think that things were really worse than they were, and many of them began to lose hope. And this belief was so strong that family by family began to desert the village in search of more hospitable environments. As the spring came, the grip of winter began to loosen, and at the same time, the chief returned to the village. he found only smoke rising from his cottage. What had happened to the villagers? "Oh, Father, forgive me," the eldest son said, "but the people were freezing and they begged me to cut down the olive trees, and so I did, and I gave away my talent. I'm no longer fit to be an orchard keeper." "Don't be angry, Father," said the second son. "The sheep would have frozen anyway, and the people were starving, and thus I sent the sheep to be slaughtered." The father understood and said, "Don't be ashamed, my son. You did the best that you could, and you acted rightly and humanely. You used your talents wisely in trying to save the people. But tell me, what became of them? Where are they?" The two brothers fixed their eyes on their brother and said, who said, "Well, welcome home, Father. Oh, yes, it's been a hard winter. There's been little to eat, and we ran out of firewood for heat, though it would be insensitive and proper to dance under such circumstances and suffering. Besides, I needed to conserve my energy so that I could dance for you when you returned." "Well, then dance," said the father, "for the village is empty, and so too my heart. Fill us with joy and courage once again. Yes, please dance." But when the third son made ready to dance, he grimaced and he fell down. His legs were so stiff and sore from sitting that they could no longer enable him to dance. The father was so sad that he couldn't even be angry. He simply said to his youngest son, "Ours was a strong village that could have survived a want of fuel and food, but it could never survive without hope. And because you failed to use your talent wisely and well, our people gave up what little hope they had. So now what? The village is deserted and you're crippled. Your punishment has already befallen you." And with that, he turned and embraced his other two sons and wept. This powerful little story demonstrates what happens when we fail to use wisely the gifts and the talents that God has given us. In today's gospel, Jesus proclaims a beautiful prayer to his Father and reviews, one might say, his mission that he engaged upon at the bequest of his Father. Christ knows that his time on earth is going to be short and that he is soon to return to his heavenly Father. And so he prays to God and expresses how he has done his best to complete the work that he had been sent to accomplish. Jesus acknowledges that the Father had given him authority over all people in order to bring them the message of salvation by knowing the one and only true God. He said, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Because he knows his time is short, Jesus asks the Father to protect them so that they are one, just as Christ is one with the Father. From his personal experience, Jesus knew that this world was going to be a tough place for them. And that is why he asks the Father to protect them, to protect those who know him and follow him. We all know that Jesus' prayer was answered. Soon we are going to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. For there is no doubt that Jesus did his work very well. You know, Jesus possessed many talents to conduct his ministry. He was the greatest of teachers, as we so often see in the scriptures. Every word and action of Jesus was an opportunity to teach, and he never shied away from that opportunity. He taught his disciples in various occasions, and we recall how he taught them that it is better to serve than to be served. He taught them that humility was more important than power, and that there was an absolute need to sacrifice, even to die for self and for others, in order to find life eternal. Jesus taught publicly through veiled messages of the parables and more directly through the famous Sermon on the Mount. He used his ability for miraculous cures of mind and spirit and body to show God's love for people. He never missed an opportunity to assist another, especially those who demonstrated faith. The woman with the hemorrhage who believed that all she needed to do was touch Jesus' clothing and she would be healed. Her confidence was rewarded by Jesus with his words, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." In another instance, he healed a Roman centurion's servant because of his trust. "Truly," he said, "I tell you, there is no one in all of Israel in whom I have found such faith." He cured paralytics. He opened the eyes of the blind. He cast out evil spirits from the possessed. He demonstrated compassion in raising the son of the widow of Nain and his best friend Lazarus. He demonstrated a great quality of forgiveness, dismissing the sin of the adulterous woman and also forgiving Peter after he had denied him three times on the night that he was betrayed. Jesus, like the two older sons in the story, used his talents well and wisely. Well, we are the contemporary disciples of Jesus, and we have been given many talents and gifts to be used for the construction of God's kingdom. We have been sent into this world individually and uniquely to wisely and fully use the many and wonderful gifts that God has given to us. We've been given gifts of teaching and speaking and writing and compassion and caring. Words are important, and they possess great power. Remember when you were told as a child, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? That sounded good at the time, but that little adage, even though it's helpful for children, is really not very much help to us as adults. Words are very important. Orally and in writing, they must be used in a judicious way to care and to build God's kingdom. You know, some of us have or used to have great athletic powers, and others are great musicians and singers. Some of us are good with numbers, and we apply our skills as engineers or scientists or researchers. And there are a few among us who possess multiple talents. And if we were to review our lives, as Jesus does in this prayer, would we be able to say that we honestly have used our gifts and our talents to build God's kingdom? Have we used them wisely for the benefit of all? Or have we been more like the younger son who squandered his gift of, of bringing hope, and in the process lost his talent and devastated his village. You know, it's not always easy to use our gifts wisely and well for the benefit of all. That's why we need one another's assistance. That's why we meet in Christian community. We can and we must rely on the Christian community, the church, to assist and to lead, even if necessary, to challenge us to use our gifts well and wisely as we daily, stone by stone, build the kingdom of God in the world and in this place. You know, many of us know from experience that sometimes using the gifts that God has given us for the building of the kingdom is going to bring ridicule and rejection. It shouldn't surprise us. Jesus told us that we were going to be hated by the world. But he reminded us as well to take courage and overcome the world. And we can also take solace in St. Paul's words as he was writing to a young Timothy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. And if we endure with him, we will also reign with him. And if we deny him, he will deny us. And if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So our journey of Lent and now Easter is rapidly closing. Next week's celebration of Pentecost beckons us today to take stock of our lives and to ask this difficult question: have I done the best to complete the work that God has given to me? Or is there much more that needs to be done? I pray that we have courage today to ask that question. And in the process, let us discover the needs that are needed to be done day by day as we prepare not only for God's coming, but for the eternal life which God has promised for all who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is truly our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.